All right, so last week in Exodus chapters 5 and 6, or actually the week before, in Exodus chapters 5 and 6, we found out that God's promises are greater than any and all of our discouragement. We know that there were times when Moses got discouraged, when Aaron got discouraged. We know that there were times when the Israelites got discouraged. And guess what? We're going to see that happen again. It's just something we face. But when we focus on the Word of God, when we focus on who God is and how much He loves us, God will encourage us. And God gives us promises. And the promises that God gives us will always, always outweigh any discouragement that we face. We just have to keep our eyes on God. We have to stay focused on His Word. And that's really what we learned last week. God made a promise to Moses that He was going to harden Pharaoh's heart and that Pharaoh would not let the Israelites go. Now you might read that passage of Scripture there in chapters 5 and 6 and you might ask, why does God harden Pharaoh's heart? And why does it take so long? Why does it take so much time to rescue the Israelites? Well, if you were to ask me that question, my first and my easy response would be this. God can do whatever He wants. And He can do it however He wants. And He can do it when He wants and how He wants, right? Because God is sovereign and you and I are not. And God's plans and ways go way above and beyond my comprehension. Right? It comes down to trust. But we do see in Scripture, that there are two solid answers to that question. Why does God harden Pharaoh's heart? And why does it take so long for Him to rescue the Israelites out of Egypt? He repeats two phrases over and over again. He does it before the plagues. He does it throughout the plagues. And He does it after the plagues. And here it is. I'm going to go ahead and give you those two answers. Number one, you will know that I am the Lord. That's why God hardens Pharaoh's heart. That's why it takes so long to get the Israelites out of Egypt, because He wants them to know that He is the Lord. And then the second answer is this, that they might worship Me. That's what He told Moses. He said, when you go to them, I want them to know that I'm the Lord and I want them to worship Me. He wasn't talking about just the Israelites. He wanted the Egyptians to know that He was Lord. And He wanted them to turn and worship Him. So, that tells me something very important for you and I today. And I even mentioned it this morning in Luke chapter 11. God wants us to know Him personally. He wants us to know Him personally. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. And God wants us to worship Him. And He wants us to worship Him passionately. So think about that. Two very important truths that we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God wants us to know Him personally, and He wants us to worship Him passionately. And I believe we see that in the book of Exodus. So the next question that I would ask is, what does it mean to know God? Like I know it's a church thing. Like we can sit here and we can talk about what it means to know God. But what if somebody on the street comes up to you and they haven't been raised in church, and they don't know what you're talking about to know God? What does that mean? Well, one definition of know, and again, you know I'm a word guy. I love the dictionary. So one definition of the word know means to perceive or to understand information as fact or truth. It means to be cognizant or to be aware of information. So that's one definition of the word know. I mean, that's a good definition. But to know God personally goes way beyond information. Because I'm going to tell you something. The devil knows all kinds of information about God. He knows all about God. As a matter of fact, he can quote Scripture. Okay? So it's one thing to perceive and be cognizant of information. It's another thing to experience. To be in relationship with. And so to know God is more than just having information. It is intimate and experiential relationship with Him. So when I say, or when God says Moses, He wants them to know that He is Lord, He doesn't want them to just have information. He actually wants them to be in relationship with Him. And I'm going to tell you something. God wants that for everyone. Go read 1 and 2 Thessalonians. God wants everyone to come to know Him as Lord. That's what He wants. He wants all people to be saved. Now, we know what Jesus says in the Gospels, right? He says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on that road. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So we know that there's going to be a lot of lost people, right, who don't get saved. But that's not God's intention. God wants everyone to know Him personally and intimately and be in relationship with Him. I love when Jesus prayed. Now, I didn't put this on your handout. And if you want to write these down, you can. But Jesus prayed with His disciples in John 17, 13. And this is what He said. Now, this is eternal life, that they know You, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You've sent. When Jesus prayed that prayer, He wasn't talking about information. He was talking about relationship. That they know You, and that they know Me. He also shared with His disciples that the only way to know God, and the only way to come to God, was through Him. In John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you really know Me, do you see that? Here's that word know again. If you really know Me, then you will know My Father as well. And from now on, you do know Him, and you have seen Him. So again, in Jesus' own words, knowing is more than just factual information. It is experiential relationship. And that's what we're talking about. I just believe, you know, Billy Graham preached this a long time ago, and I believed him when he preached it, and I still believe him today. His fear was that there were so many people sitting in the pews at church and thought that they knew God when really all they did was know about God. His fear was that there were going to be so many church people that were going to die and spend eternity in hell because all they had was a bunch of information and they didn't truly have a relationship. You see the difference? And that's what I want us to make sure we understand tonight, is that knowing God means experiencing God in relationship. And that starts with repentance of sin and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what it means for us. So, I want to just jump right in Exodus, because we know what God wants. He wants everyone to know that He is Lord, and He wants them to worship Him. And He's got a plan in place, and He's already shared that plan with Moses. He told Moses, I'm going to use you as My deliverer, and I'm going to set My people free. But in that process, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So guess what's going to happen tonight? Pharaoh's going to have a hard heart. Here we go. Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, Then the Lord said to Moses, See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply My signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay My hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out My divisions, My people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out My hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. So, what we see right off the bat is that God's plans came with his promises. Okay? God's plan came with his promises. God had already promised Moses that he would be with him. That's a promise made. God had already promised him that his mighty hand would redeem and rescue the Israelites. That's going to happen. But God also promised that it would not be easy for Moses, that it would not be easy for Aaron and the Israelites. And then we see another promise that's hard to understand. God said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will not let my people go. So, I don't know about you, but I'm scratching my head going, wait a minute, why are you doing it that way? Why don't you just make it to where Pharaoh says yes? Right? I'm looking for, and help me, how many of you like the easy way out? It's so much easier. Thank you for the word. So Caleb, you know, she has signed up to run in Memphis with our team. And this week, Katie Beth started training. And so she got up that first morning. And I had already, you know, run quite a few miles. And so I met back up with her. And I started running with her. And she said, Dad, it's hot. I'm like, baby, the sun ain't even up yet. And she ran and she said, Dad, this is hard. I said, baby, this is your first run. You got like 110 more to go before you run the marathon. And so we just talked about it. She's like, this is so hard. She came in. So I've taken a few days off. And she came in yesterday morning and she looked at us and she said, I just didn't do it. I quit. I was like, well, what? How long was the run? It was supposed to be 20 minutes, but I did 10 minutes and then I walked. And so she and I have had this conversation. Maybe, you know, not everything is easy. But we sure wish it was, don't we? Don't we wish we could just jump in and do anything without the hard work, without the struggle? But it's the struggle. It's the struggle that makes it worth it. It really, really is. And I just believe that that's what God is doing. And look, he didn't have to do this. But not only did God's plan come with his promises, God's plan came with his reason. This is pretty cool. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It don't always work like that in the Bible. Sometimes God says go and he don't give you the reason. Sometimes God says do this and he don't give you the reason. But he actually gave Moses the reason. I mean, this is pretty cool. God didn't have to give Moses the reason. It's not like Moses earned it. Right? It's not like he earned it. God said, here is why this is going to happen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. That's pretty awesome. That Moses got to hear why God's plan was going to work that way. Right? Before he could even say, well, hey, wait a minute. God said, no, let me tell you why. Right? Maybe he knew that Moses was going to ask why. But God lets him know the reason. And then not only that, but now we see the other part of this, right? So God's got a plan, and it comes with promises, and in this case, it came with a reason. But now we gotta turn it around. Because God's plan required Moses and Aaron's obedience. That was a requirement. They had to do it the way God said to do it. And so it required their obedience. Let me just tell you, it required their total obedience. Not partial, their total obedience. And I'm going to tell you something, that's what God wants from us. God doesn't want our partial obedience. God wants our full obedience. Does God want part of your heart? No, he wants all of it. Does God want, you know, part of anything of you? No, he wants all. I want all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. You know what else? He wants your total obedience. He wants complete obedience. So, this is pretty cool in the first seven verses. We see God's plan. He comes with promises, and he even comes with a reason. And we see that it comes with obedience. We have to be obedient. But, what did it say about Moses and Aaron? It said they did exactly what God told them to do. Right? So, they're being obedient. So now we come to this place in Exodus where Moses and Aaron obey God. They stand before Pharaoh just as God told them to do. And this is just before the 10 plagues. Okay, so we know that's coming. And again, I'm not going to cover that tonight. But we know that God is going to use them in His redemptive plan for Israel. So, as I started reading this, again, I'm going, okay, why 10 plagues? Why this plague? Why that plague? Why the death? Why? And again, it comes back to, because God is sovereign. And He can do it however He wants, whenever He wants, wherever He wants. So, with that in mind, watch what happens in verses 8 through 13. So this is just before the plagues come on Egypt. And if you remember, Moses was 80 years old, and his brother Aaron was 83. So if you ever think you're too old, you're just getting started. According to God's timeline. All right, so Exodus chapter 7, verse 8 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'When Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.' So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said." You know what I always say about God's promises? He always keeps them. When God makes a promise, He always keeps them. And I know that we always focus on the promises that seem good and beneficial to us. But God makes all kinds of promises about sin too, don't He? Like if you keep on sinning and you keep on with your unrepentant hearts, He will turn you over to your sin. I mentioned that this morning. You know that's a promise, right? That's a promise. And so if we're not careful, God will keep that promise too. And so we see that God is keeping that promise. And so in the first seven chapters, right? I'm just thinking as we've covered all of this. In these first seven chapters, it is obvious to me that God loves His children, that God wants them to know Him, that God wants Him to worship Him. But we also see in this passage that God wants everyone to know that He is Lord and that He is the one and only true God. So how does He accomplish that? Well, before the 10 plagues come, He accomplishes that with the snake. Okay? So I want you to think about that for a moment. The snake, and if you do the research, it was a cobra in particular. Okay? So this would have been the snake. It would have been a cobra. And the snake, a cobra, was a special creature in Egypt. God knew that. He knew what they worshipped and why they worshiped it. So God used the snake, a cobra in particular, as a special creature because they worshiped this snake as a false god, and it symbolized immortality. So the cobra, the snake, in Egypt was worshiped. It was a false god. And they worshiped that snake because they believed it would bring them immortality. Pharaoh's magicians, as we see, they imitated, and I say the word imitated, the miracle performed by Aaron because that is exactly what Satan does. He imitates God. He imitates God's ways. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read this to you. This is not a coincidence, and if I didn't put this on your handout, I apologize. Sometimes I study and add to my notes, and I don't add it to yours. And it's not on the hand on the screen. So I want you to write this down. It's not there. Did I put 2 Thessalonians on there? Okay, write this down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And I'll just read it to you to save time from you flipping there. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, that Satan is an imitator. Here it is. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. So think about that. I mean, we're in Exodus, thousands of years away from what Paul was telling the church at Thessalonica, but it was the same thing. Right? Pharaoh's magicians tried to imitate what God was doing. They were serving the lie. They were worshiping a false god when God was trying to prove himself as the only God. Paul even mentions this, if you want to write this one down, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. He actually mentions what happens in Exodus. In 2 Timothy 3:8, Paul says, just as Jannes and Jambres, those were the Pharaoh's magicians. That was their names. He says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers opposed truth. So in 2 Timothy, Paul was talking to him about false teachers in the church. Paul reminded him, hey, this ain't the first rodeo for Satan. He did this way back in the book of Exodus with Moses. And so Pharaoh was very proud. He was very arrogant, and his officials followed him in his arrogance. And here's what I want you to understand about Satan. And again, I'm focusing on this tonight because that's how Satan is working in our world today. I'm just telling you, he wants people to believe that God loves them and they don't have to change anything. That God loves them and they can make their own decisions and be who they are, be unrepentant, and God still loves them. Here's the thing. God does love them. But God is also going to punish sin. And we're going to have to answer to God for our sin. And we either going to have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or we're not. And God will still love us, but if we reject Jesus Christ, we're still going to die for eternity in a place called hell. And I don't care what teacher teaches you otherwise. That's what the Bible says. If you reject Jesus Christ, then you reject God's love, and you're going to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And if anybody teaches you anything different, they are lying. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to judge nobody. Okay? Because I'm not being called to be a judge. I've been called to be a witness. That's two different things. My job is to witness. My job is to shine the light of Jesus Christ and share the love of Jesus Christ with everyone. But my job is also to tell the truth of God's Word. And you can't be okay with sinning and keep on sinning when God says it's wrong. Okay? And I'm just telling you, Satan is lying to people today, and he's using church. And he's even using Scripture to lie to people. That's why we need to know all the Scripture and believe all the Scripture and teach all the Scripture, not just what we're comfortable with. I'm just telling you that there's a lot going on around us, and we just seem to be oblivious to it. Well, it'll all work out. It won't if you don't tell the truth. People are going to die and go to hell because they're believing the lies of Satan, that God is this thing, when they're not reading the whole Bible and knowing who God is and knowing what God says about sin. We don't define sin. God defines sin. If I'm passionate about this, I'm not sorry. I'm not, because this is serious. So Satan's going to do, here's what he's going to do. He's going to do whatever he can to minimize God's power or even eclipse God's power, but he fails every time. And this is a great example of that. What we see in Exodus chapter 7 is we see Satan trying to imitate God's power and God's revelation of himself, and it fails. We see that. Pharaoh's magicians, they were able to turn their staffs into snakes, right? But guess what? Aaron's staff, his snake swallowed the magician's staff. Right? They're snakes. You know what that says to me? God is greater. And there ain't no power greater than God's. Right? I'm going to tell you, Satan's a powerful being. He is a powerful being. Don't ever, ever think he's not. He is. He is the deceiver. He is the liar. He's the father of lies. And he's got a lot of followers. He is a powerful being. But he ain't never, ever, ever been or ever will be as powerful as my God. It's just not going to happen. And so the result of what happens is exactly what God said. When Aaron's snake swallows the snakes of Jannes and Jambres, what happens to Pharaoh? What's the result? His heart is hardened, and he will not let them go. Okay? So, now we enter the difficult circumstances. Because this is not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy, especially for the Egyptians. But it's not going to be easy for the Israelites too. Don't you understand that they were there in the midst of all these plagues? Right? They were there too. And so this is a difficult circumstance. This is a difficult journey for the Israelites with God. But God's plans and God's purposes are always right, they're always good, and they're always for His glory. Okay? So even when you struggle, even when it's hard, even when you don't understand the circumstances and you don't understand the difficulties, if you are God's child, that's when you need to cling to God's promises the most. That's when you need to be in His Word and you need to be praying, Lord, help me trust You. I'm not comfortable in this. I don't like this, but I trust You. And so I'm just going to keep pushing forward with You, because I know that Your plans and Your purposes are always right, and they're always good, and they're always for Your glory. And as we see early on in this passage, we got to remember that God wants everyone to know Him. He wants everyone to know that He is Lord. He wants everyone to worship Him. God is our Creator, and He desires a personal and intimate relationship with us. And I'm going to tell you, I am no better than anybody in this world. I mean, think about that. I'm no better than anybody in this world. There's nothing in me or of me, there's nothing I've ever done or ever will do that deserves an invitation to be a child of God. And that may be hard for you to comprehend or understand, but none of us deserve that. But God wants it. So if God wants it for me, then He wants it for anybody, even my worst enemy. Even the person that's hurt me the most. Even the country that hates my country the most. And that's hard for us. Because when somebody hurts us, what do we naturally want to do? Hurt them. Right? Wait, God, you need to get on with them. God, you need to punish them. God, you need to wipe them out. I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's come out of my mouth before. And what should have come out of my mouth was, God, you need to change their heart. You need to change their hearts like You've changed mine. God, I pray that You would save them like You saved me. How much different would our world be if we prayed like that? Instead of praying, God, get them. Right? And wipe them out. What if we prayed, God, save them? What if we prayed that? Man, that was for me. That wasn't even in my notes. And so, God's made a way, right? God's made a way for everyone to be in that personal and intimate relationship with Him. The title for me of Exodus is redemption. That's what Exodus is. It is a redemption book. And here it is. Redemption is Jesus. That's His way. That's His plan. It's Jesus. Even though right now, if we were in the midst of Exodus and we had nothing else, and we can't see Jesus, God knew what Jesus was going to do. See, the deliverer, Moses, is little d. The deliverer, Jesus, is capital D. He was going to use Moses to to deliver his people, but the plan all along was that Jesus was going to die for them. And that Jesus was going to save them by his blood. Right? And again, I know I'm jumping ahead, but he's going to show us that in that final play, isn't he? That blood has to be spilled. That blood is what is going to be the final redemption plan. And so when we come to know God intimately and personally through repentance of our sin and faith in Jesus Christ, now we can know him, right? We can know him as our Father. We can know that we are his children. And we can walk, like I said this morning, we can walk in prayer. And we can experience his presence. And we can experience his power. That's how it starts. And then we can worship him, right? When we worship him, we'll worship him in spirit and truth. And then he will receive our worship, right? It won't come from lips, right? It won't come from lips. It'll come from a heart. It'll come from a heart that's been redeemed. A heart that's been changed. And that's what I see right here. We can live our lives in love and in power and in truth, and we can make a difference in the world in which we live. And that's what God was doing with Israel. God was taking a people for himself, and he was going to demonstrate himself through this people so that the world might be saved. Isn't that the promise that he made Abraham? Before Moses was born. You remember what he told Abraham? He said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing, not just to Israel, but to who? All nations. It's easy to forget that. It's easy to forget that. I'm saying don't forget that. Don't forget that. You know who we need to be as a church? We need to be a church who loves the unlovable. We need to be a church who reaches the unreachable. We need to be a church who doesn't give up on the ones who are always giving up. That's who we need to be. I'm going to tell you something. I will never be satisfied with anything else. I won't. Okay? I'm going to preach that until the day I die. Whether that's here or anywhere else. There's too many people being given up on. There's too many people being shunned and turned away who need to be loved. Need to be told the truth. Don't get me wrong, okay? But they need to be loved. And they need to be shown who Jesus Christ is. Because Jesus Christ is the way to God. Amen?
Amen.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. God says, here's why. I want them to know that I am the Lord. And I want them to worship me. That's good news. Good stuff. All right. Anybody got any questions about anything we've covered so far in Exodus? Or any comments? I know we got a big